Okay, we are live, Crane Christian Church, and we are in Matthew. And somebody just asked us, thank you, Bruce, for getting out of the Old Testament. Anyway, I've only been there for, a few years. Matthew 4, verse 17, and I am reading out of a different version today. And there we go. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, now that's the NIV. And I want to tell you that the first thing that everybody thinks about when they, I shouldn't say what you think, but I'm going to tell you the first thing I think, is the old prophets, back in the Old Testament, going, because Israel had been going this way, whether it was idol worship, whether it was whatever, okay, I want you to hear what I'm saying. He is preaching to the religious people of that day. Are you listening? When he is out there, it's a mixed audience. But what he is saying is there is something new coming that you're going to have to turn. Remember what John the Baptist had been getting ready for. And it is saying, hey, we're going to have to turn. And the word repent means to turn and go in another direction. And what I can use that, because I can pick on whatever scripture you want to do. What's wrong with people is y'all ain't giving enough money. So I want you to repent. That scared some people. Sorry. No, that's not what he was talking about. Okay. What's wrong with these people around here is they're not voting right. I want you to repent. Okay. Jesus had every opportunity to take over. He had all power, all glory, all honor. He spoke. He was there when the world spoke to existence. You don't think he could have taken Rome? Come on. Think about it. Take it about 8 seconds. About the same time it takes to fall off a front porch. Anyway. But you with me? That's not what he was saying repent from. What he's saying is you've been doing it, and some of you guys are going to go, I've never heard this before. Well, that means it's not true. You've been doing it on your own. You've been doing it because you've been following the law. You've been doing it like this. An actual lamb has been sacrificed regularly. But we're going to go a different direction. Is that what's going to happen in 3 years from then? Is that what's going to happen? This is the beginning of his ministry. And he's saying, look, wake up. Things are going to change. Now, what we're going to be preaching the next, we'll probably get to it in a year, maybe, year and a half, is, I got people shaking their head. No, we won't make it take longer now. But anyway, The reality is I'm going to be preaching something called the good news. And we're going to say it 157 different ways, just like we did with David and just like we did with Saul. But the reality is that the gospel is, the word gospel means good news. Okay? And I want to tell you, it's even more than that. It's great news. The gospel of Jesus Christ, for me, you guys are probably good people by yourself. But for me, it's great news. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, then you start getting into these things. So, go to 419. I got one more point real quick. So, 419 said, he's there with Simon Peter's brother Andrew. They're casting a net in the lake. They were fishermen. He says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Okay. It doesn't say, follow me and you shall become. It says, I will make you. Think about this. That's different. If I wanted to make some money, I'd take some time and do a self-improvement book. Because if you follow these five steps, you'll be skinny, rich, and whatever, just like me. You know, I would have to use somebody else for the cover. But you see what I'm saying? Have to be talking about somebody else. But is that? Are you listening? Are you listening? And then people buy that book. Oh yeah. I want to be skinny and rich. The seven principles. Right? That's the number one selling book out there. It has been for years of whatever. Just fill in the blank. Use Jesus. Use something else. Use hanging upside down like a monkey. I don't know. Use whatever. Use a rubber band. You know, use whatever. Okay? But watch this. This is what he says. I will make you fishermen for men. That means it's something he does, something as we submit to him. And don't get me wrong, you're a free moral agent, okay? You're free, okay? You're not a puppet, you're not an angel. Some of you are closer than others. But the point being is this. He is making us into what he calls us to be. I'm going back to last week a little bit, but God is in charge if you allow him to be. Are you watching? He uses the good stuff, the bad stuff, the stuff we hate, the stuff we love. He uses all of that. All things work together for who? Those of us who are called according to his purpose. Okay, for good. So that's the warm up. And now we're getting to the hard part. And this ain't easy. Okay, what was that saying? It ain't easy being fat, dumb, and greasy. Anyway, nobody heard that but me. Okay, anyway, so watch this. Matthew 5, and I am reading this in the Message. I love the Message. It's not the only Bible I read, okay? I like the New King James. That's what I study out of, but I studied this both sides, of, and I'm not going to read it all because it'll take up too much time, but watch this. I only have 10 points this morning. So we'll see how far we get. Then Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds. Now, remember, he's healing people. There is healing in the presence of Jesus. I want to tell you something. I have been healed psychologically in the presence of Jesus. I have been healed physically. I have been given the push to go on. I have, in the presence of Jesus. And listen, what I wanted was to go to a prayer line, somebody pray for me, and I'd fall down and get up fixed. And that is not the way God's used people in my life. It's the that grinding, that constant. Don't you love that noise? Yeah, not so much. Okay. Yeah. I can do a lot of noises. We'll. I also bark like a dog, but that's not appropriate at this point. Okay. So those who were apprenticed to him, one says, and those who his disciples, remember what the root word of disciple is. We forget this. We just think, okay, it does mean follower, but the root word of disciple is discipline, which means we have disciplined ourselves to follow the master. And that's in your hands, okay? And just like going to the wilderness, he can either drive you there, lead you there, or whatever, we're all going to end up there if you're following Jesus. You follow me? Okay. So here's the deal. Drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. And those who were his disciples, those were who he was apprenticing, they climbed with him. Okay. If you've never had this thought, you've never been in my head. How come it's so hard? Can't we just sit down right here and you tell me what you want me to know? How come I got to climb this hill? How come I got to go through this? How come I got to suffer this? How come I got to do this? Listen, I want to tell you something. Following him ain't easy. It's not easy. Getting saved is for everybody. If you want to get saved, he is all about saving you. Growing and becoming the man or woman he's called you to be ain't easy. And you say, well, you know, it's so easy that a child need not err from the truth. That's getting saved. Praise God for salvation. Come on, I want to hear it. I'm saved. And I'll tell you what, I ain't going to hell. Anybody who wants to go to hell, you can. And I'm not telling anybody to go to hell. Okay, so let's get that straight. But I'm just telling you something. I ain't going to hell because he paid the price for me, and I ain't going. And I'm free of all that fear and death and all that hanging on to me. I'm saved. He redeemed me. And I may be a mess, but I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Come on. So if you ain't, you need to be. And if you, stop it. Those Harleys are running up down the road out there, distracts me on purpose. Okay, so sometimes it's hard. And then they arrived at a quiet place. And this is what the message says. I put that in parentheses. Where's your quiet place? I'm gonna tell you something. We all, to hear from the Lord, you need to shut your mouth. You need to open your ears. You need to find a quiet place. You need to turn off the distractions. You need to hear the Lord, because I'm gonna tell you something. I didn't know how much he loved me till I stopped. Stop trying to prove, don't get me wrong. I get right back on the same rudder tiller. So don't worry about that. But, you know, but watch this. I'm serious. I had to be still and know that he's God. Do you remember when God said that? Had to be still. And I have a time every day, if not several times a day. I could be in the car. I can be in the truck. I can be in my office. I can be in my home office. I can be in my bedroom. I find time several times a day to be still for a minute. And you go, how do you do that with your schedule? Because I can't do my schedule without doing that. Does that make sense? One is contingent on the other. And I want to tell you, it's hard to do while you're streaming the last 10 seasons of Castle, the show that used to be on TV. Anyway, whatever. Okay. And he sat down and taught with his climbing companions, those people that were close to this. And this is what he said. Now, before I get to what he said, I want you to hear this. Watch this. My mama used to sing a song with, we had a little band over the side there, and it was called, I Will Not Be Denied. I will not be denied. I will not be denied. You remember that song?
Yep.
I'm gonna save you the rest of it. But I wanna tell you something. These guys said, wherever Jesus is going, I'm following him. I will not be denied. And that needs to be our attitude this morning. And I need to throw that out there. So I love this. I love the way that Eugene Peters says this paraphrase of this in the message. We're in verse 3. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. Guys, you're blessed when you're at the end of the rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. As in, not just his rules. I'm talking about him being the ruler. Okay? So here's the deal. This is what more and more people tell me every day. And this is not a joke. It is continuing to get more and more and more. They literally say these words. I can't keep going like this. Or they say, this country can't keep going like this. They say, this organization can't keep going like this. We can't keep going. Guess what? We're blessed. No, that's what, listen, this is Jesus talking. This is not some snippet off the end of Paul that I'm trying to twist around to make y'all do something. This is what Jesus was telling the people that were following him when everything, I don't want to say that word, when everything goes bad, okay, you're blessed. And you're like, that ain't what I signed up for. I feel like Private Benjamin when she shows up there to basic training at that movie. And she says, I signed up for the army with the condos. You know, well, I signed up for the love boat and end up on the battleship. Okay, I'm serious. And watch this, guys. Here, I want you to hear this. I'm telling you that I'm a trainer. Most people know this, okay? I've trained for years, many years. I had to do the math the other day for something I was writing up for an intro. And I started first in the late 70s, but I've been training for a long time. And training different things. This is not talking about church, okay? But just skills. Let's just use it like that. And so, but one of the skills that we've trained through the years is the reaction to an ambush, okay? And what happens is I think the devil has ambushed the church. The devil has ambushed the church. Oh, gas is doing this, economy's doing this, politics is doing this, all this, just rounds, just they set us up as we're walking through, and I want to tell you, do you know what the defense for an ambush is? Charge. The people, statistics say the people who live through a police ambush are the ones who fight. Now watch this. God's given us tools in the spirit. The word of God, right? The word of our testimony. He's always, when we get together, he's always there. We're two or more gathered together. Is he here?
Yes.
That's what I'm telling you, by his spirit. And so what we've done instead, we've said, oh no, what are we going to, it's their fault, it's their fault. Oh, it's these people's fault, it's these people's fault. It's the, you know what it is? It's your fault. Get out your sword and start fighting. And I'm not talking, we don't fight against powers and principalities. We don't fight against people. We fight against powers and principalities in high places. And he's calling some of us to fast, some of us to pray, some of us to seek God, everybody to pray, to seek God, to hear his voice, instead of sitting around posting, well, you know, this is the problem. You know, if they wouldn't do that, if they wouldn't do this, it's all these people. You know what the problem is look in the mirror. Okay. So, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. And I'm going to tell you, an ambush puts you at the end of your rope, doesn't it?
Yes.
That's the end of your rope. It's the end of your rope. Okay? And it's time to fight instead of whine. We've got a body of Christ that's whining. So, you're blessed when you're in the rope. With less of you, there's more of God and his rule. And I want to tell you something. We just got out of David, and I'm going to do it in like 20 seconds. What if David had said, well, God, I can't believe you put that giant in my life, and took his grapes and cheese and went back to his daddy's house? He'd never would have become the man God called him to be, would he? He looked at that giant and said, you know what? What happens to the guy that kills this giant? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to the people that are willing to go on a frontal attack against this ambush. They are going to receive the bounty of what God has for them. Does that make sense? Or we can sit around and whine, which is, you know, we'll get you a little cheese with that whine. And we'll get this world's smallest violin to play, poor, poor, pitiful me. Okay, all right, so. This is a hard one. Verse 4. You're blessed when you feel that you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the real one who's the most dear to you. So, one of the Ten Commandments, it seems very easy to understand. It's God speaking to Moses, and he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The first thing about that bothers me is that he recognizes that there's other gods. That irritates me. It doesn't mean it's good that I'm irritated. I'm just saying, I'm like, the first time that was going like this, it was like, you know, because we've got God and we got the devil, right? And here's the deal. There are demonic powers, principalities, all, they're always working, and they're little g, not big g's, okay, little g's. And not only that, then there's the gods of my flesh that sometimes I put what I think is my need or my desire over what God has. And when I do that, guess what? Since I am in covenant with God. And I've said that everything that's mine is his, and everything that's his is mine. We love that part about everything God has is me, because I'm in covenant with God. Well, guess what? Everything you got's his, even your problems, even your little g's. And guess what happens every time in the Bible? When a little g comes against a big g, it falls down, doesn't it? And its hands fall off and its head falls off. And you don't win a battle with the little g. You win a battle with the big G. And here's the deal. If you can't follow that, you ain't been listening to the last 400 sermons. But here's the deal. I'm dead serious, guys. We cannot have any person over God and his will. We can't have any dream that we have. Remember Abraham's dream. Abraham wanted to have a child. He says, what am I going to do when I die? All my kids are going to go to my servant. Or excuse me, not all my kids. All my stuff is going to go to my servant. I don't even have somebody to pass it on to. He had a dream. He had a dream. And then God gave him the dream. And then God required him to put Isaac on an altar and give that dream to him. Can you imagine the day and a half walk to the mountain to take him, and him knowing that, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. I can't. I mean, seriously, think about that. But he was willing to do that and lay him down and get the knife out and pull it back. And God said, stop. I get it. You love me more than you love the dream. I had to say that this week. I was mad. Guess what? I get mad. I was mad. I said, God, what? What? And here's the deal. I'm going to tell you something. It's all a deception. Whatever you think, your comfort, your dream, it's all smoke and mirrors. It's all over in a few years. It's all, what God has for you is an eternal life with him. And sometimes the enemy whispers in your ear and we go, yeah, that's right. So you're blessed when you feel what's lost most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one who is most dear to you. And look, verse 4, and I'm going to read it in an NIV now. Blessed are those who mourn. And guys, I want to tell you something. God is there with you during that morning. It's not that he doesn't care. He has been through it himself. He has wept. And there, and for they will be comforted. And I want to tell you something. Our comfort is in him. Verse 5. Oh, if we didn't say anything else this morning, we need to say this. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more and no less. Guys, I want to tell you something. I'm a nerd, absolutely. Never, you know, I say that a lot because only a nerd would do what I do, okay? I follow all kind of things, all kind of things, do deep dives, and, you know, I'll see something, and I'm a geek, maybe. I'm better, maybe more of a geek than a nerd, whatever. But watch this. So there is some people that I'm in contact with, and they have this saying, and literally this is their saying. They said, we are the new rich. And I'm thinking, so they're rich? I know these people. They ain't rich. They're not rich. You know why they're saying that? They said, because we refuse to be tied down by payments, by all this other stuff that people think is so important, by this, by that. Instead, we're going to enjoy our lives. We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to do these things. And we refuse to be a part of all this confusion. And guess what? Every time I see them, they got a smile on their face. And they're free. Now, I want you to think about that. And you say, well, I've got a house payment. I'm not talking about, you know, moving to a tent, especially if it's not my yard. Okay, because that's important. I'm the most important. But anyway, but the point being is this. Watch this. Guys, I want to tell you that when he says this, when you're content with who you are, in verse 5 in the NIV, the way it's translated is the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I want to tell you guys, that meekness is strength in silence. It is, listen, I want to tell you something. Let's just think about this. Okay. I've been around, when I was a child, I was around animals all the time. Horses, cows, chickens, monkeys, very few monkeys. Okay. I saw an alligator this morning. So yeah, alligators, in South Arkansas, we actually had alligators. I have got a sign that says, beware of the alligator down there at our park. But anyway, watch this, guys, watch this. You can go and buy nowadays, a $20,000 quarter horse, $20,000, okay? It is bred, it is beautiful, and you can make money off that, off its offspring, okay? But watch this. If you don't train that horse will kill you. I've got a little limp every once in a while when the weather's not right from a horse called Rhonda's Cupid Doll, which was a quarter horse that I was trying to work, and she threw me head over heel, over and over. I mean, it was a mess, okay? And here's the deal. That pound is a half ton of muscle, all right? And they kick your brains out. I mean, I'm just telling you. But here's the deal. Once it's trained, I mean, think about it. We would never have went west in the 1800s if we didn't have something to ride. You can't walk that far and carry your stuff. We'd starve to death, right? Or oxen. All those things have to be trained. They have to be broken. And here it is. When you find out who you are, when you're meek, you got that strength under his control. And I want to tell you, that's what God's looking for in a church. It's what he's looking for in his people. It's what he's looking for in his sons and his daughters, is to know who we are, to be, have that strength from him, but under his control. Does that make sense? Not following the lust of our flesh, because you know where that ends up. So you're blessed when you're content with who you are, when you're meek. And here's the deal. You'll find yourself proud owners of everything that can't be bought. I'm going to tell you something, and you know this, and I'm going to tell it really, really fast. You know this, okay? In the entertainment world, okay, there are people who are kings and queens. And you say, why do you say that? Because they have limitless money, limitless popularity, limitless, you know, they get on a plane and fly somewhere to get a bologna sandwich or whatever they want. I doubt it's bologna, but anyway, you get the point. But here's the deal. Here is the deal. When you look at their lives, how many of them end in strong drug use and suicide, almost killing themselves? It just, you know, because they've got all that. And guess what? That does not fulfill you. You know, if you're voted class president or you're voted class clown, neither one of those is going to fulfill you. Does that make sense? Okay. What fulfills us is in him, and you can't buy that. I don't care how much money, I don't care how loud your pipes are or how high your handlebars are or what color bass boat red you get it painted. Nobody that I know. Okay. So here's the deal. You find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. Now, this next one, I'm going to read it in the NIV first, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You're blessed when you work up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink and the best meal that you will ever eat. Now, guys, I'm going to split this in half because there's no way I can get through another 5 or 6 of these. But I want to end on this one, because this is a perfect place to put a pin in and come back next week. But watch this. Think about everything. We're going to be talking about a bunch of stuff that Jesus says. I mean, a bunch of stuff, Okay? He does some teaching to these guys up there on that hill. We're going to be talking about in the context of that. We're going to be doing a lot of, but listen to this part right here, right now. If you're online or you're watching this 6 months from now, it doesn't make any difference. The truth of this will be the same today, yesterday, and forever. So watch this. Listen to this. He stands up days before he is going to be crucified. On the last day of the feast, before he's going to be crucified. And he says, all who are thirsty, come to me. And the reason it says, blessed are those who've worked up a hunger and thirst, is because here's the deal. If you're not looking for him, I mean, he loves you. He died on the cross for you. But when do we come? When do I pray the hardest? When stuff's going bad. Is that right? I mean, I think I'm like everybody else mostly. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, but the reality is that's a blessing, and you're going like, how can this hurts? I hate this. This I don't like it. I don't either. I'm no different than you are. But the bottom line is, he stands up and says, all those who are thirsty. Now, think about this. You know why the disciples were thirsty? Because they had not filled themselves with, now all the way up through their school, because their school was the Jewish synagogue, their school was the learning the law, their school was that. But listen, they hadn't been picked up to do that for a living. No rabbi looked at them and said, yeah, he's going to be a good student. You know, there's no Bible schools come to my high school and said, yeah, Bruce would be a good student. No, that didn't happen. So, but watch this. What he did is he surrounded people that had not been blinded by what? Religion. They're up there sitting there and he's telling them the deep truth. And I want to tell you, we have a generation, and people say, I don't know what this, everything's going, okay, we're trying to say the right words. So everything's going bad. Everything's not working like it's supposed to. Nothing's going like it's supposed to. What an opportunity. What an opportunity. Friday night, I spoke to a group of people that the first note of the first song, the guys that were sitting right here stood up and started praising the Lord. Do you know why? They're glad they're not in jail. They're glad they're not dead. They're glad that they're out of rehab. They're glad that they're clean and been clean. And you know what? Don't you think about this, guys. What are we glad for? Well, I'm glad I'm not like the people over there because, you know, I'm a little bit better. Who does that sound like? Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious people. And don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about we need to throw away the church and throw away. No, don't know. Because what God's want to do is revive the church. Not the building, the people in it. Okay? And when we start living like Jesus, and you go, oh, we got to quit this, No, I'm talking about, you know, God is love. Think about that. Does the church represent our daddy? Or are we representing a religious version of our daddy? I'm going to tell you something. Two things, and I'm done, kind of, for a minute. So watch this. So Jesus, we'll get to this story in 6 months or so. Jesus, well, I'm just being optimistic, okay? Jesus is on the side of another hill. It's maybe the same hill. It's maybe later that day or later that week or whatever. He's on the side of a hill. And guess what? He goes a little bit long. Merry Christmas. And people are starting to get hungry. And they don't know what to do. I'm going to tell you. On that hill with him that day where people did not have their love life worked out. On the hill that day, there were people that were greedy. On that hill that day, there were people who talked bad about their neighbor. On that hill, there were people that were, I mean, just think about it. It was just a group of people. There were thousands there. Right? Remember the story? Oh, they were all just the good people. No. They were breathing rednecks. So they were failures in some area of their lives. Okay? Now watch this. Watch this. When he held that up, and God multiplied the fish and the loaves, who ate? Tell me who ate. Anybody that would reach out their hand and say, yeah, I'll take a fish sandwich. Did that come from Arby's? No, I'm serious. Anybody who was willing to eat, ate. Is that the truth? That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Religion says, no, you got to be doing it just right. You got to do it like I said. Do it. You got to do it like this. You know what Paul said about this? You know what this said? You know what this? Listen, come in and eat. And I'm going to tell you something. I promise you, you can't stay the same. I can't. When I'm in his presence, whew, I'm convicted. And I try a little harder to be better. I'm serious. And I want to tell you what we've done. We've got the cart before the horse. We've got it all painted up and we got our decals on it and ain't no horse. We're all trying to push the buggy ourselves. Okay, and if you ever push one of them, it's heavy. So Jesus stood up on the last day of feast and said, anybody who's thirsty. Is that what he said? And if you're thirsty this morning, and I want to tell you, as I was studying this last night and this morning, again, the same thing. He says, hey, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I got mad over that scripture. I got mad. I said, this ain't been easy. There ain't nothing easy about this. He said, no. Literally, I did the deep dive, the nerdism. Came out, okay, the geekster came out and just gets down and digs and digs and digs. And guess what? Do you know what the yoke of a rabbi was? The yoke of a teacher was his teachings. He said, my teachings are easy and following me will be light. And we have made it into the most burdensome, carrying everything that ever Pharisee, Sadducee, every law, everything we can think of, just like the devil took Jesus to the top of the temple and started quoting scriptures to him. We agree with the enemy and starts quoting this, and this, taking this much of a book that, I don't know if you've read the Bible, you ought to pick one up and just weigh it sometime. There's a lot of stuff in it, okay? And I'm going to tell you, Jesus says, if you call on the name of the Lord, if you believe and are baptized, you will be saved. And then the devil comes with his butt machine. Have you ever seen his butt machine? He puts it up there and goes, butt, right? I say, but God, you said you'll meet my need according to your riches and glory. Butt. And right, and in your mind you're going, but this, but that, but this, but that. I'm going to tell you something. Shut off the devil's butt machine. And instead of that, say, Lord, I receive. You said you love me. So let's pray together right now. Father, you said you love me. And Father, you died for me on the cross. And I receive the gift of salvation that nobody can earn, Paul says, so that we can't brag on what we've done. It's a gift, not by works. And Lord, we know as we follow you, Lord, we'll probably change the way we act. Because it's been a gradual thing with me, Lord, but I've changed the way I act. My priorities have changed. And Father, I pray today, God, that those online and those here, Father, they would see you as the loving dad that you are. The God who is enough. So help us, O Lord, walk in your path, staying so close that the dust from your sandals gets on us, O God. And Lord, using your principles, Lord, We feed our mind and our body and our spirit, Lord, with what you've given us, oh God. And we reflect your glory to a broken world, that your kingdom will come and your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. But Lord, it starts with love. And first, Lord, we receive your love so that we have the love to give those around us. And Lord, we'll be careful to point to the cross. And Lord, our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for worshiping with us this morning. Have a great day, and God bless you.